Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this week grew up in Detroit, Michigan, and at age 24 was addicted to cocaine and was homeless. Detroit Rescue Mission helped turn his life around, and he then earned a BA in Urban Sciences from William Tyndale College and a master's degree in counseling from Ashland Theological Seminary. Today, he's the principal at Westside Christian Academy on the western edge of Detroit. His name? Henry Walls III, and we're honored to have him as our guest. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Rasula. This is Anything is Possible, and we're talking to Henry Walls, principal of Westside Christian Academy on the western edge of Detroit. Henry, welcome. A real honor to have you.
Thank you, Jack. It's an honor to be here.
Can we start by talking about your mom and your dad and the biggest things they taught you?
Well, Jack, my mom and dad were working class people from the South, mom from Louisiana, dad from Knoxville, Tennessee. I think one of the greatest things that they instilled in me was a love for family, a commitment and a dedication to family. I think second to that would probably be a work ethic, because I've watched them both get up and go to work every day. My dad worked long hours, and somehow he still had time to spend with us, and we still had quality time as a family.
You and your four sisters were taught that?
Yes.
So you had the right upbringing, and at 16 years old, you drop out of high school?
Yes.
Why? And tell us what happened.
Okay. Well, being the only boy in the family and being the one child who just had academic challenges. I don't know if it was necessarily a cognitive impairment, but certainly had challenges with attention, behavior, and just grasping knowledge. So early in my life, I just kind of felt like a black sheep of the family. So I was the one child, spent a lot of time away from home, a lot of time hanging out with friends and at other people's homes.
Yeah. At 18, you joined the Marine Reserves.
Correct. Well, interesting. Dropped out of school after my 11th grade year once I realized I wasn't going to graduate, which I should have known, because I missed a lot of school, between 9th and 11th grade. Some classes I would have 30 absences in and 50 absences. I actually spent a lot of time downtown, Jack, watching the Renaissance be built. I would go to school in the morning, go in the front door, out the back, get on the Grand River bus. I was attending Refford High School at the time, and catch the Grand River bus all the way downtown. Spent a lot of time just hanging out downtown. Once I realized that I was not going to graduate with my graduating class, just the shame of that, the shame that I brought to my family, as well as just the shame I was feeling myself, compelled me to sign up for the Marine Corps Reserves.
If one of your students at Westside today misses class to go watch the Joe Louis being built, what would Mr. Walls tell that student today?
Well, I think, first of all, I would try to see what was going on in their life. I think that in some instances, we've even went to their homes and got them. So depending on the chow and the situation, we would probably try to go find them, Jack. But all the children, we would try to sit down and just speak hope and destiny into, and just let them know what they can be, what they can become, what God has instilled in them, endowed in them. Just try to encourage them to value not only education, but the opportunities that education presents to them. For me, Jack, I really didn't have a particular teacher or anyone really in my life that just kind of sat down with me and processed life with me, helped me to understand what was going on, why I was struggling with learning, why I was doing a lot worse than my siblings. So I processed a lot of things on my own with, of course, limited knowledge, limited maturity. So I think that our environment at Westside Christian Academy already inherently has things in place to prevent something like that from occurring.
You go to Boston, friend calls you and says, hey, come on back home, sell drugs. So you go down that path, you start using cocaine, you're 24 years old, strung out on cocaine, and you're homeless.
Yes. Yeah, actually, I was doing pretty good in Boston. I was a shop steward for a company that cleaned the buses for mass transit. And as a 19-year-old, I was doing pretty good. But I had friends at home that were communicating with me, talking to me on the phone, sending me pictures of nice cars and money. And keep in mind, it was at the time that Young Boys Incorporated was out, and the drug epidemic was really growing in the city of Detroit. So I was led to come home thinking, lured to come home, thinking that that I could make a lot of money and live this fast life. But it didn't turn out that way. After a year or so, Jack, I really became my own best customer, which led to a drug addiction, which led to me committing some acts, some crimes that that I'm ashamed of today, which led to me being homeless and strung out on crack cocaine.
And then your mom found you.
Yes. Yes, it one night I went into my parents' home and was looking for something to pawn or sell for drugs, and I took a TV out of my parents' home and went several blocks away and sold the TV for drugs. I'm in the house doing drugs, and a loud knock comes on the door, and there's a lady standing at the door crying, and it was my mom. She was saying my name, screaming for me to come out. And even today, that voice is still in my head. It still brings pain to hear. But I jumped out of the window, walked down the street, walked about a mile away to what was then Mount Carmel Hospital. Just couldn't get my mom crying and screaming out of my head. And I went into emergency, and I told the receptionist, the lady at the counter, I need help. And she directed me to a psychologist that was on staff at the time, who sent me to the rescue mission only to spend the night. Little did I know that's where I would meet Jesus, and that would be the place that would change the course of my life.
And the lives of hundreds, if not thousands, of kids in the inner city. And I'm Jack Crystallin. We're with Henry Wells. This is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm Jack Crystallin. We're with Henry Wells. Dropped out of high school at 16, started selling drugs, and at age 24, was addicted to cocaine and was homeless. Henry, God sent you an angel named Reverend Aaron Henry.
Yes, Reverend Aaron Henry was what was termed then a floor minister at Detroit Rescue Mission. And their responsibility was just to meet with the guys and talk to them. And he was also a seamstress. So he would take the clothes that we would get from the clothing store, and he would tailor them to fit us, to just so we could feel good, look good when we go out on job interviews and such. One day, Reverend Aaron Henry was talking to me in the office, and he says, "Henry, what you really need to do is consecrate your life to the Lord." Now, at the time, I'm a high school dropout, and I really don't know what consecrate mean. But after we talked a while, I understood that he meant I really needed to commit my life to the Lord. So that day, Jack, at least I thought, I cut a deal with God. I said, "God, if you deliver me from crack cocaine, I'll spend the rest of my life serving you." Now, at the time, I didn't know that God would have to keep his end of the bargain and my end of the bargain. But that day, in that office, God delivered me from crack cocaine.
God has sent you a lot of human angels.
Yes.
Reverend Henry, L. Bufkin, Joe Williams. Henry, talk to us about how God sends human angels into our lives and how he wants each of us to be human angels in others' lives.
Yes. Al Bufkin and Joe Williams were two men that God immediately placed into my life once I committed my life to the Lord. And both of those men are still instrumental in my life today, almost 30 years later. Joe, at the time, was an upholsterer, and he ran a business in his home, in his basement, and in his garage. And he would take one young man from the rescue mission and make him an apprentice. While doing upholstery, and Jack, I really didn't learn upholstery. I would redo the furniture, would strip the wood and revarnish the wood and things like that. But one of the things that was essential during that time is Joe would pour into me. We would listen to J. Vernon McGee, Charles Stanley. We would memorize scripture. So this was a informal process of being discipled into Christianity. Al did a similar thing, but more formal. He was a minister of the church that I joined, and he walked closely with me in a more formal way. I oftentimes tell individuals that these were my spiritual parents, because Joe was very stern, very hard. You know, if I would come to him about something, he would just, you know, be ready to pop me upside the head and say, "Man, get it together and just do what you're supposed to do." Al was more nurturing. You know, he would just encourage me more and dream for me, both of these men. And I believe that this is why mentors are critical, because we have a lot of people coming from hurting places, places where restoration and reconciliation is needed. And oftentimes these individuals, like myself, can't dream for themselves. They can't see the future. They don't have a future and a hope. And these men would dream for me in ways that I could not dream for myself, even when it came time to go to college or to take various ministry assignments. They would tell me that I could do things that I really did not think that I could do. The world needs more men like them who are willing to walk alongside individuals, support them, speak hope and a future into them and dream for them in ways that they can't dream for themselves.
If you want to learn more about them, www.westsideca.org. You then go on, Henry, you get a B.A. in Urban Studies from William Tyndale College and a master's degree in counseling from Ashland Theological Seminary, and you start trading. You become a teacher at Westside Christian Academy, and in turn, they let your children go there. And since 2013, you actually joined the staff. You're the principal today. Tell us about Westside Christian Academy.
Westside Christian Academy, I could talk about forever. It's an amazing place. We like to see it as an oasis, as a beacon of hope in the city of Detroit. Westside Christian Academy is a Christian, an urban Christian educational ministry where we educate young people ages 4 through the 12th grade. And many of the young people that come to us are what I like to describe as lacking in two areas. Many of them are educationally disenfranchised. Not that they are necessarily challenged or impaired in their learning ability, but more so have not been given the opportunity or the access to a quality education. Secondly, and equal to that, would be economically disadvantaged, coming from impoverished places, impoverished home lives, and just not able to meet all the basic needs. So these two together, these two aspects of life together, are areas that we really try to impact at Westside Christian Academy. Our young people come to us, some of them, as a last stop in their education where they have not made it at other schools. And they come to us and not only make it, but excel, do well, and matriculate onto post-secondary education.
It's a private Christian school. It costs you about $6,000 a year. It's an 11-month school year, including summer school. And you get, on average, from the kids $500 to $3,000. How do you come up with the rest of the money?
Well, Jack, actually, on average, we get between $500 and $1,000 a student. And so we raise about 85% of our budget a year. Most of it comes from private donors, Christian businessmen, little old ladies who believe in what we do. You know, we have probably a donor base of about 250 individuals that consistently give to the school. Some foundations give to us, family foundations, but for the most part, we have to go out and raise roughly about $850,000 a year.
Last June, you graduated 17 high school seniors. As of January, all 17 either are in college or will be in college.
Correct. Correct.
If you want to learn more, www.westsideca.org. And I'm Jack Rasul, and this is Anything is Possible, a News Talk 760 WJR. This is Anything is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Rasula, and we're with Henry Wells, a living miracle of God. Henry, talk to us about the teachers and the 20 volunteers that make up and do the work of, you're the pretty face, they do the work of Westside Christian Academy.
Yes, I agree, Jack. Without those teachers and those volunteers, then we could not. There's no way we could make the impact that we make. We believe at the core of educational success is quality teachers who have a sense of calling and a heart for urban children. And God just keeps sending us phenomenal teachers. Last year, God sent us four educators, two master level educators who are committed to the school, committed to urban ministry. One who is a language arts teacher, and another math teacher who was had an actuary science degree and was in practicing actuarial science and went back to school to teach math to urban children. This year, God sent us four new teachers, a science teacher, an English teacher, a history teacher, and then a phenomenal teacher in Bible. Well, two really, but one in particular I thought was just a real blessing from the Lord, a young lady from Florida State University, former basketball player, former athlete in actions worker, and now she's teaching Bible and working with our young people, our teenagers in the area, life skills.
Her name's Kayla Norman.
Correct.
She's
Kayla.
Married to an ex-Spartan.
Yes, yes. And I will not hold that against her, that she's married to a Spartan instead of a Wolverine. I hope you're listening, Kayla. But, yes, both of them are former collegiate athletes. Both did very well in college athletics as well as academics, and both are very much committed to urban populations.
You mentioned four new teachers, one being a science teacher. The science lab that you've given that teacher is very outdated.
Yes.
You're trying to raise $70,000 for a new science lab.
Yeah, Jack, I'm glad you mentioned that. One of the things that we are trying to provide at Westside Christian Academy is a competitive education. And one of the things we need to do in order to do that is create a science lab that is competitive, a science lab that is modern, that is 21st century. Right now, our science lab is a classroom. It's archaic. It does not have all the equipment it needs. So for the last year and a half, we have been working with a consultant to lay out the science lab. We've worked with some development folk from Cranbrook and some other sources to try to put together a proposal. We now have a proposal, and we need to raise about $70,000 to create a state-of-the-art science lab for our high school students.
If you're interested, www.westsideca.org. Henry, anybody that listens to you quickly says, this isn't a job to you. This is a ministry. This is a calling. It's a vocation to you.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's not only a calling. It's a labor, a love. Many of the young people that I work with, they're me at their age, Jack. They have some of the same struggles, some of the same issues with self-esteem, just some of the same learning challenges. So every year when at graduation, for the last 2 years, two graduating classes that I've had the privilege of overseeing as the campus principal, I've just sat in my chair and cried on stage. And people see me crying and wonder, is it tears of joy? And it partly tears of joy and partly me replaying in my mind all that those young people went through to get to this stage in life. All the labor, all the challenges that they face to overcome, things that they had to overcome to reach this stage in life. For me, it's my contribution to the city. Oftentimes I've told people that there was a period in my life that I helped tear up the city of Detroit. And this is my way of being able to help rebuild the city of Detroit.
Henry, you're working 78 hours a week, 11 plus months a year. You get paid $60,000 to do that. You could run most any high school in Michigan and make a whole lot more money. Why not?
Well, the uniqueness of Westside Christian Academy, and this is the mantra, when you walk into the school, one of the first things you see in the hallway is a mantra that was created by the founder of the school. Well, one of the founders, because the school was founded by a couple, Daryl and Paul Onanian. But one, the mantra is Jesus and education offered here daily. We can offer what you cannot offer in a public school. We can offer what you cannot offer in most secondary, elementary, middle school situations. We can offer Jesus. We can offer the love of God, and that love of God motivates and creates a hope, not only in our educators, not only in our volunteers, but it permeates the lives of the children and the families we serve. Westside Christian Academy is important to me because of the work that Daryl and Paula has put in for 42 years. They've done urban Christian ministry with young people for 42 years in the city of Detroit. So to be able to carry that work on, to continue that work and impact not only the children who walk through our doors, Jack, but I believe the work that we do impact the community. The work that we do directly impacts the cycle of poverty. The work that we do save lives and hopefully even help put the prison system out of business. So I believe that God has called me to this work and has called me to do this work in a way that I can fully and unashamedly represent him.
We're talking to Henry Wells, who at 24 didn't have a high school degree, strung out on drugs and homeless. Anything is possible with God. And I'm Jack Rizzullo, and this is Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Rizzullo. This is Anything is Possible, and we're talking to Henry Wells, principal, Westside Christian Academy. Henry, do you believe in miracles?
Yes, certainly I believe in miracles. I believe that I am a miracle, that that I was on a course that was certainly leading to death and destruction, and the love of God saw fit to alter that course. So yes, I believe in miracles, because there was a time in my life that I thought that I could not obtain anything. I thought I couldn't learn, Jack. I thought something was wrong with me. So sometime I sit at my desk and I chuckle. I say, man, I went from a place of thinking I could not learn to being a PhD candidate at Wayne State University and the head of a learning institution. You ask me, do I believe in miracles? Certainly, I believe in miracles, Jack.
How do you explain, Henry, that time after time, God does his greatest work through the least likely people?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's consistent with the scriptures. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 says that God takes the weak things of the world to overthrow the mighty. He takes the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. That God works with those who understand that they need him and that they don't, that they're nothing without him. It is those vessels, those who know that they are empty, that he can fill with himself and he can use them mightily in the earth.
And he takes the Spartans to beat the Buckeyes and the Wolverines as well. So Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Yes.
If there's a listener tonight that's really down and out, been a tough weekend, Thanksgiving weekend, mm-hmm. What do you say to that listener?
Well, I would say to them, Jack, that first of all, that God loves you and that I know sometimes it's hard to believe that, but there's really nothing too hard for God. God can either deliver us in the midst of our situation or deliver us out of our situation. But in either case, God will be with us. If you were to try him and to trust him, then you will enter into a relationship with someone who will never leave you or forsake you, that he would be with you always. Jack, in the last week, I lost two family members. And one in particular was very painful because he was 54 years old, went into surgery for a knee replacement surgery and did not come home. So to make sense of it, I have to trust the Lord. I have to trust God. So to someone who's hurting, someone who's struggling, someone who's in a situation that seem hopeless, I would say to you, give God a try. Give him a try. Give him your whole heart. And I guarantee you that he'll do things that will amaze you and ultimately transform your life.
We're closing out another Thanksgiving weekend, Henry. What are you most thankful for?
For family, that I get this time to spend with my mom, my siblings, my extended family. I'm always grateful for my wife, Jack. I have a wife who has a debilitating condition. She battles fibromyalgia, so I'm thankful for the days that she can get up and move around, for the days that she can enjoy life. I'm thankful for my children, that they're healthy, that they're strong, that they have a constitution, they have character about them, and that they too know God for themselves. So I'm thankful. I'm thankful for what God has done at Westside, Jack. Earlier this year, we were struggling, not even knowing if the resources would be provided for the school to continue on. And God, just in the last couple of months, have shown himself to be faithful, has shown that he cares about that school, that he loves the school, and he has just touched hearts of individuals to stand with the school financially so that the work can continue on in the lives of urban children.
www.westsideca.org. Henry, your mom, you're 24. She fights to get you back from the devil. Now you watch the pride in her heart, in her eyes, in her heart, to watch her only son and what he's doing. When you see that pride in her eyes, what do you think?
That's a good question. I moved oftentimes when I think about my mom. I moved to tears. My dad, who died in 2007, he used to come eat with me at the rescue mission. He would sit right at the table and eat soup with me and the rest of the homeless individuals. And when I think about my mom and dad, and I think about that God gave me an opportunity to make them proud, I become overwhelmed with gratitude that I got to be the son that they raised me to be.
As our time winds down this evening and we close out another Thanksgiving weekend, Henry Wells, can you lead us in a closing prayer, please?
Yes. Father, we come to you now, and as we just discussed, God, we're thankful. Thankful to you for life. Thankful to you, God, for your presence in our life. Thankful to you for everything you do for us and give to us, and ultimately for your Son, Lord, because you were willing to give your only begotten Son. Father, I pray, God, that you would be with those, God, who are struggling during the holiday season. We know that this is one of the most loneliest times of the year, and it can be very depressing for those who are struggling and hurting. And we pray, God, that you would somehow warm their hearts with your presence, that you would send your people, Lord, to be your hands, your feet, your heart, that those who don't know you that can know, Lord, that there is a God who cares about them. In Jesus' name, amen.
And Heavenly Father, we're also thankful for our brother, Henry Wells. Keep up the great, great work.
Thank you. Thank you, Jack.
Please join us next Sunday. Until then, I'm Jack Rasula. Thanks for listening. And make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spoke.